Okay, Romans chapter 10. Now we're talking about changing your world. Stay with me tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, let me start reading here in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Well, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, I want to stop right there. Now, the message of the kingdom is the most important message to the human race. The message of the kingdom. And Jesus came to earth to announce the arrival of this new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And if you'll go with me over to Matthew chapter 6, he was constantly teaching on the kingdom. And he said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom what? Come, thy will be done in where? Earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 11, please. In Matthew chapter 11, he says this in verse 12. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth what? Violence. And the violent take it by force. So here he is talking about this taking this earth and bringing forth the government of God in this earth, displacing this government that is already here. That you and I have been chosen for this mission. Now, our job is to bring the government of God to bear upon the earth wherever we are. That's our job. And what we've discovered, or we've been teaching, is that the church is the governing body of the kingdom of God. All right. Now, let me describe this. Let's go to John chapter 18, please. Now, I'm going to turn some scriptures real quick and then we're going to talk. John 18. Look what it says in verse 35. And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. That is one strong statement. All right. This kingdom that he's talking about, if fully understood, the power that is behind that kingdom can flow through its individual representatives in its fullness. Jesus said, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He's doing the work. Go to John chapter, Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. Let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 26. Praise the Lord. All right. He said in verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place. For all they that take up the sword shall perish of the sword. Now he's talking about people who are murdering and so forth. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now notice, the full power of that kingdom is available to one who represents that kingdom. Don't you see this? Our job is to move into this earth and to bring the government of God to bear upon any place on the earth. Wherever we are led, that's where we're supposed to govern. Now, the Roman Empire provided a perfect model for the message of the kingdom, because it came with governors, and Pilate was one of those. And this governor functioned to govern that province. That's why Herod and Pilate were busy sending Jesus back and forth to each one of them, because each one of them had a domain. Got it? So now this province that they are to govern, they are to make that province a reflection of Rome. You and I are ambassadors. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you ever ask Jesus where he is from, he'll tell you, I'm from above. Even though he was born in Bethlehem. So we just, I'm not saying get quirky, but I'm saying we're going to have to watch our consciousness, because your consciousness and what you believe has a lot to do with the power that can flow through you. You with me? So here it says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. And the righteous are as bold as a lion. That power cannot flow through us if we sense ourselves unrighteous. All right, let's go all the way over to Revelation chapter 19, please. Revelation chapter 19, let me know when you get there. All right, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, describing Jesus, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of what? Kings. And Lord of who? Lords. So understand that as he sends you out, you have got royalty attached to you. And you are his representative for that jurisdiction that he sends you to. And you are supposed to change your world. What is your world? Your world is where he sends you. You are given his authority and power to change wherever you are. It's the church. Now, let me just skate to something right quick while it's on my mind. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and let's look at verse 5, if you will. You with me? Verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Watch this. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes, or can I say kings, walking as servants upon the earth. What is he saying? It's stated to church. Wait a minute. The people who are not kings don't have dominion or having dominion. They have the money. They seem to control the property. They seem to be dictating the laws, even though some of the laws are unjust. They seem to be coming in with humanistic kinds of teachings, such as there's nothing wrong with living with somebody till you get, you know, there's nothing wrong, so forth and so on. That seemed to be dictating all the culture. But wait a minute, we got all the power. So help me to understand, this is what he's saying here. He says there is an evil. Got it? So my point to you is, this is not meant to condemn anybody. This is meant to say that there has been confusion in the minds of some of the people in the church. And I really believe the reason why is because we haven't been taught kingdom. We hadn't been taught kingdom. We've been taught about religion, but religion doesn't have any power to it. So we just kind of hanging on with that. Now, just stay with me now. The more we think like kingdom citizens, the more we will act like kingdom citizens. The more we act like them, the more power that can flow through us. Kingdom citizens. Let me show you. Turn with me over to 2 Kings chapter 6, please. Y'all all right? Okay. 2 Kings chapter 6. See, what has not happened is people have not been taught this, so they think they're just living the best way they can so they can get ahead. But look at this. This is when the enemy was coming after Elisha, the prophet, because he was telling the king of Israel which way the enemy was going to attack it. Now watch this. That gives you a glimpse of the power of a kingdom citizen. They can know what's going to happen before it happens. All right? So what happens here is he tells them which way he's coming. And as a result of that, the king of Syria sends out an army to go get him. And when he sends out an army to go get him, Elijah had no fear. Because once you become an ambassador, you have an army of angels at your disposal. Now, I'm just going to teach this. It's up to you to take it and use it. So he says, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. All right. Let's just talk about that for a minute. In this kingdom, as an ambassador, you are not free to give your opinion. Stay with me now. This, you're representing a king. And the king's words are called laws. And this is not something that you vote on whether or not it's right or not. Once this constitution was written, it says in here, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Ephesians chapter 4. So you cannot talk against the Constitution. You cannot say anything that the Constitution didn't say, not legally. Because when you do that, you're compromising his trust in sending you to change the land. Y'all get me now? Because see, I've got to say what he says. If I come up with my opinion, then I've jumped back over into democracy where I can vote on it. This is not democracy. This has already been voted on. It's now called theocracy. It's one God and he speaks to one person. You with me? Now stay with me. Because the benefit of that is that you get the power. You remember? I won't go there. But Matthew chapter 8, when the centurion came to Jesus, said, hey, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievous torment. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, you don't need to come. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this. For I am a man under authority. He understood for him to have power, he's going to have to be under power. If he gets out from under power, his power is cut off. See, as long as Samson stayed in that spiritual position, he had power. But the moment he moved out, compromised to satisfy somebody else, the power stopped. Now, once you get to, because this same power that Jesus was operating in created new body parts. This same power could feed 20,000 people with two fish and five loaves. This same power could stop tornadoes. The same power. You got that same power. Now, understand the kingdom is a key. Are y'all with me so far? So notice what he did here. And the verse 15, and the servant man of God risen up early, he said, alas, master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots of fire round about Elijah. Watch this. And when they came down upon him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord, and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness. He did exactly what he asked him to do. Now notice, it wasn't anybody but him. And he fought off an whole army. Watch this, blinded all of them. Every one of them now. Now, wait a minute, this is Old Testament. This, you got more power than this. You're under a better covenant. Let's go look at it. Let's look at Acts chapter 12, please. Acts chapter 12. Now, what am I saying? You should walk around kingdom minded. Everywhere you go, kingdom minded. Why? Because every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that God has given you. Look what he says here. This is when they put Peter in prison along with James, killed James. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and the smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garment upon thee and follow me." And he led him out of the prison. Now an angel came in there and got him. But the angel came and got him. Why? Because the authority that God has given you is stronger than the authority that's in the earth. Because Herod was the one that's keeping him. But Herod represented this earthly authority. There is an authority that's given to you that is above this earthly authority. And it will override this earthly authority. Let me show you something. Look at, if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Changing your world. Say, changing my world. Exodus chapter 9. Look at verse 16. Have you got it? And in that very deed, Exodus 9 to 15. Okay. "This cause I have raised thee up for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." Pharaoh, you think you all of that, but let me let you know. I've raised you up to show my power. You didn't even raise you up. I raised you up. I'm talking about the strongest leader in the earth. God raised him up. Let's go further. Turn to Daniel chapter 4, please. Daniel chapter 4. Now, this is a long ways from begging for some money. Daniel chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. This is Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream. Now, once he had that dream, he didn't know what it meant. But Daniel came to him and told him what the dream meant. All right, and he said, verse 18. "O thou king, the most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and a majesty and a glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would have slew and whom he would keep alive." He kept alive, and whom he would have set before him. I got so many things going on inside. Whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like unto the beast, and his dwellings as the wild asses, that they fed him with grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whosoever, come on, he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast an humble heart, though thou knewest all this." So what happened? God had to show the strongest leader in Babylon that he can take him down. Oh man, y'all ain't doing me right. I'm saying that when we go into a jurisdiction, we have been given the authority to rule over everything in it. I ain't gonna stay with that. You'll just get it yourself. Now, this kingdom that we're in has its own system of security and its own way of protecting its citizens. So let me give you some things. We are kings, ambassadors. We're appointed by the king, Jesus. We represent the state or the kingdom. wherever we go. We're committed only to the state's interest. We've been sent here to establish the culture of the kingdom we came from. We are totally covered by the state. We are responsible to the state or kingdom. We're totally protected by the government of that kingdom. Watch this. We can only be called back by the king. We have access to all the nation's wealth and power. Why? For his assignment. We never speak our personal position on any issue. Only our nations. Our goal is to colonize or influence the territory of the kingdom or government whereby we are sent. And we must abide by the Constitution. Now, the Constitution tells you to be anxious for what? Nothing. So when you are going against the Constitution, you're going against the kingdom that you represent. Got it? All right. Let me show you one more thing. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you do what? Die. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so forth and so on, she ate and gave it to her husband that was with her, and he ate. The eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right. What am I telling you? This kingdom, I want to say it again, is not democratic. The king's word is law. It's not open for discussion or debate. Satan got her to debate with him. Watch this. And as a result of it, Adam committed high treason. Now that's deep. Because what is treason? Somebody help me. What is treason? It's a traitor, right? It's a traitor. But why do they execute and shoot a person who commits treason? Because it's the ultimate crime. You've just sold your whole country. Everybody in it. And what happened to him and Eve? They got executed. They died. And I'm saying, think about the word of God. When I'm somewhere and I refuse to say what God says, am I bordering on treason? Am I about to sell everybody that's with me, following me, my family, everything? Am I about to sell them down the river? Because I refuse to say what he said and get his power to work on my behalf. I want you to see how serious this is. I can say what I want to say. No, you can't.
Amen.
Come on back over to Psalm 108. Now, I don't care how bad it looks. See, because he got her to debate with him. And Satan's job, remember, over in anywhere, over in the Senate or the House of Representatives, it's all about compromise. But God is absolute. There is no compromise with God. He doesn't compromise one word that he tells you to do, because if he does, he'll lose his holiness. And his holiness is what backs his power. And I'm telling you, the church has been sitting up in compromise, and that's why you haven't seen the power. Anybody that come in the church is supposed to be healed. No matter what they got, doesn't make any difference what they got. There's enough power supplied by heaven to heal anything. If it can't be healed, replace it. New hearts, new kidneys, new eyes, new legs, doesn't make any difference. And I'm telling you what's happening. What's happening is the kingdom hadn't been preached. People think they have an option. There is no option. Once you sign up for this, you're in the army now. And you got to salute, say, yes, sir. And go do the job you're supposed to do. Watch this. And nothing can touch you, and you'll never dry up with funds. Now, I'm telling you, the kingdom is what Jesus taught. My kingdom is not of this world. If I'd like to, if I wanted to, I can call 12 legions of angels. I still have freedom to do that. But I'm going to stay under authority. And only way you got power, Herod, is that God gave it to you. Other than that, you got no power. And I'm telling you, in this nation, if the church rises up, I'm telling you, you can put one up and take one down. Amen. If you know that what's going on is taking this country the wrong way, take them out. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And if he doesn't turn the way the Lord wants him, he can take him right out.
Amen.
And I'm telling the church, it's not been preached, and the church has not risen up to this. But we think we're just victims. Victims? We're the ones that's ruling this.
Amen.
That's right.
Told you this man, somebody else was preaching, and I was preaching in that same meeting, and the man got up, he called him Colonel, said, hey, you know, I've been listening to Pastor Winston teaching and so forth. This is a colonel from Iraq. And I said, man, he listened. He said, let me tell you, on that blessing thing, I know that blessing wall is on me. He said, they shot at me. And he said, we saw the bullets turn.
Amen.
We saw the bullets turn. That's angels, man.
Come on.
We saw the cell doors open. We saw the guards go to sleep and couldn't wake up.
Amen.
We saw, I'm telling you, that's where we're riding. We're up in this level. The kingdom means supernatural. It has nothing to do with the natural.
Amen.
Amen. The addict's supposed to come into church not for a 10-step program, but for one step.
Amen.
It's called deliverance.
Amen.
One time. That's where we're supposed to be. No delays. You got to keep this until, you know, it'll pass. Now, he didn't have the storm to pass. He stopped the storm right now. Whole different way of thinking. Why? Kingdom consciousness.
That's right.
What did I tell you? Someone over there. Y'all with me? Glory to God. Boy, that came out of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Psalm, I don't know what I said, but Psalm 103 is what I want. Psalm 103, please. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Oh yeah, folks, we going back. I said we going back. We gonna recapture this thing that God's supposed to have. I mean, look what God wants us to have. Look what it said in verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, keep going, and his kingdom, keep going, rules over all. Watch the next verse. Bless the Lord, ye his who? Angels that excel in what? Strength. That do what? His commandments, and they hearken to the what? Voice of his word. I'm writing to my partners this month on hearing the voice of God. Where did I get that from? I got it from Bishop Oedipo when he came here. He said something. He said, hearing the voice of God is a stronghold of faith. When he said that, that thing radiated in me, I'm telling you. And I began to talk about, I wrote my letter when I was with the company that I worked for, and I was trying to leave because I know God was calling me and saying leave, but I just couldn't leave. And next thing I know, I got a hold of a teaching on from a guy named Jerry Savelle on seed time and harvest. And this Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30 began to jump out inside of me. And then one day as I meditated it, it spoke to my heart. And this is another thing Bishop said. He said, hearing from God is an irresistible voice. Hearing from God is an irresistible voice. And let me tell you, once that happened, it's like I was on University Avenue in St. Paul. I stopped. I pulled over the side of the road. I didn't have cell phones at that time. Called my wife and said, baby, I'm leaving this company. Now, I had tried. I had faked at it. I had told them I was going and so forth. Each time, something came up. Why? It was a stronghold. But I needed another stronghold called faith. And I'm telling you, once I got knowledge, the Bible said in Proverbs 24 and 5, that a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth his strength. So when you get knowledge or revelation, your strength will start increasing. And not only that, so I found out that hearing God's voice put me in a place where I was fortified against controversial viewpoints. Hearing God's voice put me in a place where I was fortified against controversial viewpoints. When you're going back and forth and wavering and so forth, it's because you need a voice from God. You need to hear from heaven. You need heaven to talk to you. And I'm telling you, when I did that, I began to look at all the places where heaven had talked to me, where God's voice was heard. I'm not talking about I read it in the scripture, wealth and riches are in my house. I'm not talking about that. Anybody can read that. But you need to get a revelation of it. And when you got a revelation of it, something will happen to you. And I began to look at the places. I moved the family to Chicago here. Why? On the voice of God. I had also the ministry in the location of Chicago and moved it to Forest Park. How? On the voice of God. We also had schools started, the Business School of Joseph, the Ministry School, Living Word Christian Academy, all that I started when I heard the voice of God. Bought shopping malls, heard the voice of God. Purchased airplanes, paid off airplanes, heard the voice of God. Had faith conferences, heard the voice of God. Got victory over trials, heard the voice of God. Sitting down at Bob Yandin's ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma, God said, start Bill Winston Ministries. Heard the voice of God. And look what I'm saying. I'm saying one of the things that people need is to hear the voice of God. And when you hear it, you'll get addicted to it. You got to hear it all the time. And do you know that's where God wants us? He wants us to walk and talk with him again, just like Adam walked and talked with God. A part of your kingdom privileges are to hear the word of God. God wants you, everything you're struggling with, to end today, not tomorrow, today. And the way you get it to end is to hear the voice of God. Now let's go to one more place, 1 Kings chapter 19, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. Glory to God. Y'all got me preaching tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Kings, let me know when you get there. Verse 9. And he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain the prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Boy, let me tell you, that's what you're looking for. You stay right in there, keep reading that word, just keep pressing in, because one of God's natures is to hide. So you play hide and seek with him. You go seeking God, and the Bible says you seek him and you'll find him. So in every situation, no matter what the obstacle was, every time it was impossible, but I sought God. Once I heard his voice, I did it. It locked my faith in. It put a stronghold inside of me, and I was able to do what God said. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Now, Bishop said something. He said, the problem with God's people is they're not hearing God's voice. And he said, that's why they're not moving forward. That's why they're not advancing the kingdom and so forth. Sometimes we're trying to live off of other folk's faith. But it's got to be your faith. Your faith, man. And I'm telling you, what the enemy tries to do is put up a wall. But remember what he said. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not talking about the Logos. He's talking about the Rhema. You got to hear God's voice. And when you do, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Satan is trying to hold back our stuff, and we're not going to allow it anymore. Folks, you know, I am just naive enough to think that everybody up in here can at least have $1 million. Now, I know people go right away, haters gonna try to pop out. But I'm not concerned about that. Because when he brought them out of Exodus, out of Egypt, everybody got blessed. Say amen to that. When they went up against the enemy and they said, this day shall the Lord deliver them into our hands, and they begin to praise the Lord. The Lord made the enemy fight one another, and they went out. Everybody collected something. Amen. They got so much until they were 3 days gathering it in. Amen. Can you imagine being 3 days gathering money in? 3 days. I'm talking about wheelbarrows, moving vans, U-Hauls. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that to get this provision thing off your mind. Amen. Because God has made each one of us wealthier than we can imagine with our own natural imagination. Amen. You need some help to imagine how God has blessed you. Amen. So this is our day. This is going to be our year. I'm telling you, folks, we going into something next year. See, that's why it's so much recession. Because on the other side of recession is restoration. That's what you're seeing right there. But think about that kingdom now. Because we're coming back to that. And that's got to be here before Jesus comes back. He said the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the nations. Watch this. For a witness. He's saying, hey, I want you to preach it, but I want there to be a demonstration of it. Why? He wants them to see there's a distinguishing characteristic between somebody's in the kingdom and somebody that's not. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm telling you, I want to show people how good God is. He is good. All right. Praise God. Did you get something out of that tonight? Now that was a basic teaching on the kingdom. And I want to do just a little bit more with that as we come back on Wednesday nights. But like I said, in January, I want to teach on financial freedom. And I'm going to pray that as I teach that, miracles will happen. Miracles will happen, folks. Debts will be canceled, I mean, or paid off, or if you're Covenant Bank, you paid off, or whatever have you, and God is going to get the glory in your life. Amen. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to pray with you right now. So if you'd like me to do that, and you know you're not right with God, but you'd like to be, I'd like you to get up out of your chair.